A disabled woman says she's been driven to the brink of suicide over her fight to get the benefits she is entitled to. Susan has asked us not to use her real name, but she is from Belfast, and she suffered a serious injury in the workplace that left her unable to work. In the course of conversations with advisors at the Social Security Agency, one member of staff actually encouraged her to get medication she didn't need because it would improve her chances of getting employment support allowance. Now, that's a woman desperate, and that's an advisor on the end of the phone desperately trying to help her, to be fair to him. And yet he's telling her essentially to be honest. To be dishonest, sorry. Now, if we now set the bar so high that even if you're disabled, even if you're entitled to a benefit, it's really difficult to get it without bending the rules. Here's Susan talking to our reporter, Lisa McAllister.
After my work-based ESA ran out, then I had to go to the ESA and I put in a claim. First time ever. I'm 52 years of age. I worked all my life and I've never been on benefits. And I got a thing that, yes, I was getting it, and it was on a basis assessment rate of £71 a week. So then I got that done, and the next thing I know, I get called for to go for a medical, for an ATOS. And I told, it was a nurse who did it, and I had to ask for her report from the Social Security Agency. It was like reading it was from a different person.
What was in that assessment then? Did the people from ATOS feel that you could go out to work?
Yes. I got a phone call from the ESA, from a decision maker. He told me that these are really hard to pass. And that's when I started thinking, like, what's wrong here? There's something not right, you know. He told me then to go to my doctor. He kept alluding to my ESA 50 and saying, well, you told her you didn't have mental illness. So I says, well, I don't have mental illness. I says, I don't have depression. And I kept saying to him, but I don't want to take antidepressants. I don't want to take antidepressants. He says, look, even if you don't take them, just throw it in the bin. I know how this works. I've been doing this.
What was your reaction on the other end of the phone that this, you know, person who's employed on behalf of the department to make decisions on who does and who doesn't get these benefits, and he's telling you to go to the doctor, get a prescription for something you don't need?
At first, when he was talking to me, I just sort of went quiet, like on the phone, and I kept thinking, I was just so confused. I'm thinking, is this normal? I've never been through it. I had no idea. It wasn't I got off the phone and I just sat down and I just cried and I cried and I thought, this isn't right. I had a follow-up telephone conversation with this same person, this same decision maker. He told me during that telephone conversation as well to send in any additional information and, you know, they'll reconsider my claim if I have to send in additional. He says, you have 21 days to do this. He says, now, you know, hope we don't lose it. He says, now, I say that as a joke. He says, but it is true. I got a letter saying that my ESA has been disallowed. They stopped it completely, saying because I failed to send in information. And I said, look, I sent it recorded, signed for, and I have it in my hand, even the initials of the people who signed for it and received it, well within their time frame. He says, well, I haven't got it. You know, the boy's father's deceased, and I'm on my own. And I was left in this low income, and I'm trying to cope. I had to go through all this and all the stress of it. The appeal went on for almost a year.
How tough was that year for you? You're a single parent, as you say, and not just the stress of having to go through the appeal, but I suppose financially as well.
Financially, it's been horrible. I mean, you know, I have a young son, he's 11, and it's hard because I can't even afford to do anything for him. I'm striving for them, but we've had to do without. My condition of stress doesn't help. They've made it worse. They've made me, my kids have lost a bit of a mum over the last 2 years because of them, really, because I've been stressed, I've been irritable. You know, you can't focus. And it's just taken its toll on me. And what they're doing to me even this past week, I'm being honest with you, and I even told them that I thought about suicide because I didn't have any other options. It was like, he said to me himself on the telephone, I says, like, what am I going to do? And I said, if I don't pass this, which I should, then he says, well, then just go on another benefit. I says, I can't go on job seekers because my doctor won't sign me off because he said I'm not fit for work.
What's the situation with you at the moment, in the sense that they did reverse their decision last year and back paid you and started paying you ESA, but now they've started to review you again?
A month later, they're reviewing me again. Like, my prognosis has gotten worse. My prognosis has gotten worse a lot because of them. They can put, you know, they can put people in jail for benefit fraud, but all you get is sent a letter of apology when they commit it.
What does that say to you about the system if that's a decision maker telling you to do that?
It tells me the system isn't working. It tells me that there is no system. It tells me that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. I could have ended up in jail. You know, I can't afford to be in that position.
Well, the Department for Social Development has given us a statement. They say we cannot comment on individual cases. Of course, that's not true. They're choosing not to comment on individual cases. If they had have asked this lady for her permission, and if she had have given her permission, there is no data protection issue whatsoever as to why they couldn't comment on that individual case if they got all the permissions. So it's sometimes just handy for government to say they can't do it. The reality is they won't do it. However, they say, we're aware of the sensitivities of this case and we will continue to maintain contact with Susan to support her through the process. The Sinn Féin MLA, Mickey Brady, is Vice Chair of the Social Development Committee at Stormont. What are your thoughts, Mickey, when you hear that?
Good morning, Stephen. First of all, I have the greatest sympathy for Susan, but unfortunately, she's not the only one. I come across a lot of cases like this, not maybe in those particular circumstances. I think what it does very much is highlight how dysfunctional this system is. And, I mean, that's been accepted by professionals and by medical professionals for quite a while. I mean, there was a BMA meetings the year before last in Liverpool and Scotland who both condemned the work capability assessment as not fit for purpose. There has been reviews done initially by Professor Harrington and more recently by a man called Litchfield, who has been over with the committee. Unfortunately, Professor Harrington, who was doing the reviews, never made it as far as I know. But I think there's a general acceptance that this system is dysfunctional. I mean, we would argue that medical evidence should always be at the heart of this, because essentially what people are faced with, and I'm sure what Susan would be faced with, it's a tick box exercise, not always carried out by a doctor, often by nurses, and they will just tick the box, and there's very little in the way of proper examination, etc. Yeah. We would argue that medical evidence, because if a person has a condition and it's well documented and it's a chronic long-term condition, and even in the short term there's injuries as Susan had, then medical evidence should be at the heart of that, so as the decision maker can make an informed decision. Because often the only time medical evidence and proper medical evidence in the sense of documenting a person's condition turns up at appeals. And by that stage, the person has been disallowed and then has to go through the trauma of appealing and doing without benefit or reduced benefit for a period of time.
It's interesting if you look at this case, because there will be some people actually sympathetic with the call operator Social Security, because he was, you know, what he did was wrong. He's advising this lady not to tell the truth, but he's doing his best to try to get her benefits. I'm not too sure how many people would actually want the book thrown at him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose
it was the system to blame.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't really like to comment on that, because I think that's an internal Social Security agency issue, and I think it's between the person and their line manager. But in general terms, Stephen, the work capability assessment has proved, as I said, to be not fit for purpose, because I've had cases, and one case springs to mind where a lady representing her son who had Down syndrome, one of the questions she was asked was, how long have they had the condition? Now, and then went on to be asked...
Really?
Yes, and then went on, and I've raised this with AETOS, and then went on to be asked, when do you think they might get better? Now, obviously, that's a lifelong condition.
Is that recently?
That's the kind of issues that people are faced with.
Did that happen recently?
Not that recently. It would have been probably within the last 2 years. But, I mean, my background is working as an advisor, and I've worked with the Social Security system for a long, long time, and I've seen many, many changes coming in. And I have to say, as each change has come in, it's made it more difficult for people. And we're talking about people who have genuine, long-term, chronic conditions. We're not talking about, and you know, this myth abroad that everybody on the sick, there's nothing really wrong with them. My experience over many years has been the vast majority of people are genuine. They have particular medical conditions. They're not, in many, many cases, they're unfit for work. This system is now really not looking at necessarily what's wrong with you, but what is not wrong with you. And unfortunately, people, and I think if you listen to Susan there, she's been so traumatised by the whole system, and that's not what it should be about. It should be there. There's a duty of care from the department to people, and unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be exercised to any great degree in my experience.
Maggie, nice to talk to you this morning. Really interesting story. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Indeed.